from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
I'm literally like tweeting out sourced info as we start the show. Just learned the Bills are going to be releasing Ilyanku, defensive tackle, so I just tweeted that out. That's from me there, Josh, so here you go. You can say, Arsal Capaccio. That's how it works on a day like today. What is going on today, man? Oh, my gosh. It's a head spinning everywhere. Woo! Head on a swivel today is what you need. It's cut down day. And we know several players that have been released by the Buffalo Bills. Through different reports, locally, nationally. We'll see where it ultimately ends up on the 53. And then, what happens after that? Remember, as Jeremy made a great point this morning, it is not the actual final 53. It is the kind of, sort of final 53, but you're really not on the 53 until we finalize everything over the next couple of days. It's a long way of saying, hey, once they get to the 53 today, there's going to be more moves in the next 24 hours based on waivers. And claiming, and players released, and signing free agent contracts. So, today, what do we know? Here's what I want to do. Come on, open the phone lines today on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio with you. I'll get into yesterday. I had a great day yesterday. I'll tell you all about it in a little while, but wasn't with you yesterday as things were starting to happen. And I appreciate, as always, Josh and Zach. Were you on yesterday? You guys were on, right? Great job. Thank you. You guys are always amazing to be here on those days where I can't. But yesterday, the cuts started coming in. And we learned the Bills basically, you know, a couple days ago, tweeted out all the different, you know, several different moves they were making already. So they said, right there, these are our seven guys, couple on IR. From then, we started to learn a little bit more yesterday around the league. There was really nothing with the Bills yesterday. Today's a little bit different. Today, you're starting to get all of these cuts coming in, locally, nationally, like I said. I want to open the phone lines to you to ask you where your head is at with all of it. And this is an open-ended question today on the Extra Point Show. What I mean is, like, what are you concerned about? What do you like? What are you confused about? Anything. You don't like what they're doing at wide receiver. You like what they're doing at linebacker. Whatever it is. You have a question, the mechanics of it. I just want to give it open-ended here for the first segment. And then at 10:30, my buddy Matt Perino is going to join me, Syracuse.com Shout Podcast as well, with Ryan Talbot. He comes aboard at 10:30. At 11 a.m., Evan Lazar, who covers the Patriots, and we'll get to some league matters, but I thought we'd check in with him based on what happened this weekend and that preseason game. When did the Patriots play? Last night? Was it yesterday? Against the Commanders?
Sunday night. Yeah.
Yeah. And and Jacoby Brissett got hurt, and Drake May looked good. So we're going to get with Evan Lazar.
Martavis Bryant had a touchdown, his first touchdown in, I think, 7 years.
There you go. Yeah. I like that. Good for
Not
him.
Not for the Patriots, but.
Yeah, good for him. We'll get with Evan Lazar at 11 o'clock. Matt Perino at 10:30. But 803-0550 is the number to call. It's the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. Okay. 803-0550 is the number. What do you think about what's happened so far? Let me recap a few of the things that have happened. And let's do it this way, too. Maybe if Josh sees a report, he can ding us in some way. Ding, ding. Somebody getting released. ding, ding. Someone getting waved. We can do that today. I would say this. Here's where I want to start. The biggest question and concern even and wonderment for the Buffalo Bills heading into this offseason was wide receiver. Today, because we've learned that the team is waiving Tyrell Shavers and Justin Shorter, we are back to the biggest concern, curiosity, wonderment as far as a position is concerned. Now, we have the Joe Andreessen story, right? Joe Andreessen at linebacker. Is he going to make it? Is he not going to make it? I think he does, but who knows? That's certainly front and center on a lot of Buffalo Bills fans' minds. But I think the biggest position for the Buffalo Bills that's interesting right now is wide receiver. And as it rolls along today. And it really has been since April, right? Since the day they traded Stephon Diggs. Maybe even before that. I mean, I guess Gabe Davis leaving in free agency started it. And then Stephon Diggs gets traded right after that. And now we're back to what are they doing? So what does it mean for both Tyrell Shavers and Justin Shorter to be released? Now, of course, these are, according to reports, has not been confirmed by the team yet. Let's start with Tyrell Shavers. I had him on my 53, my projected 53-man roster. I don't know many who didn't. It just, again, I want to explain how these work. Which is, when I do a projected 53, when someone else in the media does a projected 53, it's not, and it shouldn't be, who you think is the better player making the team. Like, hey, this is the better player. They should keep him. This is what I saw. You're not the evaluator. I'm not the evaluator of the talent. That's Brandon Bean and his staff and the coaching staff's job. My job to give you a projected 53 is to tell you what I think they're going to do based on what we've seen as far as reps are concerned, how they've handled that player. And yes, some of it baked in is making plays, right? We know that too. So when I put Tyrell Shavers on my 53, that's because ever since camp started, the week of, the first few days of, Tyrell Shavers was always in that mix in the top five or six, generally top six and even top five at times. And you know they're going to keep at least five wide receivers. They could keep six. So he was always in my top group. Then come the injuries to Marquez Valdes-Scantling and Curtis Samuel. Now he's even more firm in that top 5/6. So I really was surprised when, I think it was Jeremy Fowler who tweeted out this morning that Tyrell Shavers was going to be released by the Bills and not make it. That came as a surprise to me because I thought he, based on what I've seen, how they've handled him, the reps he's taking, where he's playing, when he's playing, to me that was a guy that was making the team. Was he outstanding and making play after play? No. He was consistent, but again, this is not about, oh my God, I think he's amazing, he should make the team. That's not what it is. It's, here's how they're doing it, that's what I see them doing. That's what I project them doing. But he didn't have, like, some awesome preseason. He didn't have amazing play after play every day in camp. Keon Coleman had a few of those. He just was consistent, and he was out there a lot. So I was surprised by that. All right, so once I heard that, I said, okay, well, what are you doing now? Let's try to, it's a big puzzle, right? That's the cool part about today. Roster building, the puzzle that gets put together. Like, well, why would they do that with Tyrell Shavers? Okay. Well, there's a couple of reasons that you could do it and reason why. Number one, maybe they're just going with five wide receivers. Because listen, Daquan Hardy, the punt returner, the defensive back, appears to be the guy who's won that job. He's going to be the punt returner for this team, Daquan Hardy. That's what it appears. So if Daquan Hardy is your punt returner, you don't really need someone to do that from the wide receiver spot. And not that Tyrell Shavers is a punt returner. He's not. But if you needed to keep another wide receiver for punt return, then you might have to go six because you don't want that guy necessarily playing extra reps at wide receiver. It's like I said, it's not a perfect science. It's a puzzle, but I think Daquan Hardy making the roster, which it appears that he will do that, we'll see, would have a direct impact on what they do at wide receiver, because you have KJ Hamler, you have Andy Isabella, and who is actually the punt returner, and then how that affects the numbers at the position. Right, that's number one. Number two, so I say maybe they just keep five. Or was it that KJ Hamler or Justin Shorter or Andy Isabella actually made the roster? Or Deion Kane? How about Deion Kane and his game last week? Deion Kane looked really good. Like, did Deion Kane just show up a week and a half ago and suddenly make the Buffalo Bills? It's possible after what we saw. We know now, though, it's not Justin Shorter. That also was reported. I had been saying for a couple of weeks, maybe about a week or so, that Justin Shorter was making a late push. Fifth-round pick from a year ago, was on IR all last year, did not play. You know they don't want to necessarily divest themselves from a fifth-round pick. Gave him every opportunity in training camp this year, and it looks like, apparently, according to reports, he's not going to be a part of their 53-man roster. So, as I tweeted out, hey, maybe it's Justin Shorter. He was making a late push, and then literally 10 minutes later, Justin Shorter's released. So, scratch that. I got it wrong. Not that got it wrong, just that wasn't it. That part wasn't it. And so that gets you, that's no more Justin Shorter. What about Deion Kane? Deion Kane has some juice after what happened this past week. I mean, run after the catch, right? I mean, he was very good with that. I'm going to try and see Deion Kane here. I don't think he did a lot of punt returning. He's not a punt returner, kick returner. Yeah, it wouldn't be the reason you'd keep him. But to me, I'm looking at a guy like KJ Hamler now. Like, did KJ Hamler do enough in that final game, playing running back, showing that he has that speed, the willingness and ability to kind of just, hey, do whatever the coach asks. And oh, by the way, insurance as a punt returner, maybe even the main punt returner. Maybe you go into the season and you say, here's Daquan Hardy, my punt returner, and I have KJ Hamler, and they're going to battle it out. That could happen too, because I'll tell you, even though Daquan Hardy looks like he's going to make the team as that guy, I still wonder if the Bills really super trust him to field punts on a windy day in November in that stadium. Heck, a windy day in September could be windy in a week and a half, 2 weeks. So maybe you need KJ Hamler on this team, because he offers something the other receivers just don't really have. Straight line burning speed. So maybe that's where you go. By the way, Josh, I was saying earlier, if you see any reports of anybody with the Bills, hit a bell or something for me. Ding, ding. Because I'm doing the show here, and I can't kind of be on top of it all, so I'm trying to do that as best I can, and then we'll do our best to kind of get that out there as soon as possible. So, the other guy would be Andy Isabella. The thing about Isabella, though, is it doesn't get me to go, yeah, that would be the guy they would keep. If they were to keep six, Samuel, Coleman, Shakir, Hollins, MVS, and I'll get to this group in a second a little bit more. But if you were going to keep six, and Andy Isabella is the other one, I mean, he hasn't had the opportunity, really. He's done some kick returns, but not punt returns in camp and preseason as much, in preseason and games. So that kind of gets me off of that it would be him. The other thing that the Shorter and Shavers releases do is get you closer to more of a comfort of Curtis Samuel and Marquez Valdes-Scantling being ready to play week one, which Sean McDermott did say last week that everybody, except Matt Milano, of course, who's been injured here, has the chance to be ready week one. So that gets me to, okay, looks like MVS and Curtis Samuel on this team ready week one. Now, you can argue all you want that MVS shouldn't be on the team. I can understand that argument. I've gotten it from a lot of people. But again, this isn't what you, the Extra Point listener, would do because of your evaluation, or me, Sal Capaccio, do what I would do because of my evaluation. We can all have those opinions. the job is to figure out what the Bills are going to do because they're the evaluators and how they've treated it and how they handle it and the money comes into play and all of those other things. Speaking of money, both Tyrell Shavers and Justin Shorter are subject to waivers. What does that mean? That means as of 4 p.m. today, they go into the waiver pool. There's this whole list of all these guys who haven't been in the league for 4 years. They get released. Any team can say, I'm claiming that player. You're mine. Only one can get the player, of course. That's a waiver priority. It goes in the order of last year's draft. So anybody who's, you know, any team can just say, we want that player. And that player becomes their property. And the Bills then can't get that person on the practice squad because they're on another team. If the player clears waivers, you can bring him back to the practice squad, which I believe that Shavers and Shorter would both be candidates for. But you only have 17 of those, 16 normally. Bills have an exemption for Travis Clayton, although he's been hurt lately. We'll see, you know, where that goes. But I think wide receiver has been the most interesting position here with the Buffalo Bills as today has rolled on. Backup quarterback. We know now through reports, Ben DiNucci being released. Anthony Brown was officially released by the club a couple days ago. That leaves two healthy quarterbacks on this squad. I'm sorry. I shouldn't even say healthy. That leaves two quarterbacks on this squad. Josh Allen and Mitch Trubisky. And we know Mitch Trubisky is not in a good place to play a game right now, right? I mean, the way he's been limping around and he hasn't been even in uniform doing any rehab. What does that look like, though, next week leading into week one against the Arizona Cardinals? Let's remember, just if Mitch Trubisky could be healthy enough to play against the Arizona Cardinals, but is he healthy enough to even practice leading up to it for the game plan to take reps? Those are things the Bills have to decide. It's not just if he's ready for week one. It's if he's ready to practice week one, if he's ready to actually take the reps to understand the defense, because, you know, God forbid something happens to Josh Allen, even for a couple series, and Mitch Trubisky has to go in. He has to know the game plan. He has to know what he has to be ready. It's not just, hey, I can put him out there and take a few snaps on a Sunday afternoon. It's not how it works. And I have serious doubt if that's the case, but there is a way to work around this. You don't have to put Mitch Trubisky on injured reserve and lose him for 4 weeks. And this is my sense is this is probably how it goes down. I don't know. That the Bills will probably bring Ben DiNucci back to the practice squad or another player. They claim a guy, and then he has to go on the 53, so that's going to be tough. But you go out and sign a guy to put on your practice squad after they clear waivers. You don't have to claim. Wait till they clear waivers, or it's a veteran. You put him on your practice squad. So that player's in your practice squad. Then Mitch Trubisky's just your backup quarterback. He's on your 53. Oh, Mitch isn't healthy enough to play week one? All you got to do is elevate that third quarterback. And in this case, to me, it would have to be Ben DiNucci, or it doesn't have to be, but it should be Ben DiNucci because he's been here. He knows the offense. I mean, that player, whoever QB3 is, this is the better way to say it maybe for you. Whoever QB3 is, who's going to be on the practice squad, might actually have to be the backup week one. The legit backup on the roster. And if that's the case, I don't think you can have somebody come in here and just have 2 days of practice. Now, other players have gone elsewhere and performed in those situations. Heck, didn't Baker Mayfield, Josh, go to the Rams and actually win a game after being on the team for like 3 days?
Yeah, 3 or 4 days after getting traded there.
And then wasn't that guy, same thing happened with Minnesota. What was it? Who was it? Was it
Josh Dobbs?
Josh Dobbs.
Yeah, and he won, I think, 2 or 3 games in a row and was pretty successful in all the games he played. He didn't win them all, but still, going in there and just performing. I remember players were talking about how he came in and just showed this kind of elite leadership, if you want to call it that. It was kind of a weird thing that happened because it was a random backup quarterback that just goes in and balls out pretty much.
Yeah. So it's possible, right? You could have a guy go in and 2-3 days notice, go and play and be fine. But I would think the Bills would want somebody. And I think they like DiNucci and what he's done, actually, to be quite honest with you. Like, I don't think DiNucci didn't go out there and just throw up all over himself. Like, he actually acclimated himself pretty well, right? He looked okay. So I think the Bills are probably pretty comfortable with having Ben DiNucci as your QB3. And he was out there late in the process. It's not like teams were clamoring for him. So here's my guess on how this is going to go down. They'll carry Mitch Trubisky on the 53. They'll sign a backup quarterback, a number three quarterback to be on the practice squad. And then week number one, they elevate that quarterback. He basically takes all the reps as QB2. And then you evaluate Trubisky for week two, which unfortunately is only 5 days later. So that's backup quarterback. Okay. So now, what's the next position we get to? Corner. I just told you about Daquan Hardy. I think Daquan Hardy's on this team. Here's the really, really interesting thing about corner for me right now, okay? Again, I'm just kind of, you know, talking out loud here. I don't know, so please don't take it as, oh, Sal said they're going to do this. I don't know, but I'm wondering. Wondering why they trained him so much on the outside when everyone kind of said he's just a slot guy. Well, there's a simple explanation, which is, hey, we think he can play outside, and we need the more depth you can have there, the better, which is great. I wonder if that means anything for Kyrie Elam. Jamarcus Ingram, to me, and you guys, anybody who listens to this show knows, like, I am the number one Jamarcus Ingram fan here in over the last 2 years, telling everybody he can play. Jamarcus can play. I've said that for 2 years, and it is coming to fruition, so thank you, Jamarcus, for proving me right, because I can't see any scenario he's not on the 53. That would be a stunner to me. And he's gotten better, not only every year, but every week, it seems like, here in the preseason. Has he even passed Kyrie Elam for number three? Because it's not like Kyrie had a bad... contrary, Kyrie Elam, we were talking about, is he pushing Christian Benford? He never really was, I don't think. But he's kind of plateaued here over the last few weeks, and here comes Jamarcus Ingram. So let's just say it's 3-4, 4-3. It doesn't matter. Daquan Hardy being trained on the outside gives you a little more flexibility there. And because Kyrie just hasn't hit quite where you want him to, are they looking at, we can have a depth piece who's he's making the team because he's a punt returner, but we've trained him there. And numbers-wise, maybe we can, you know, look into trading Kyrie Elam. Not that they want to do that, right? But I wonder what the reasoning is. It literally could just be because they just want more flexibility, and that's fine. And we're just trying to do all the conspiracy theory stuff here or read way too much into it. But Hardy, and part of the reason would be you don't need Hardy to play the nickel, right? Because you have Taron Johnson, and then your backup nickel is Cam Lewis. So he'd be third in that depth chart. So make him a flexible guy. You know he can play nickel. He's done it in college. Put him on the outside a little bit, train him there. Then you have some nice flexibility, which is probably what the plan is and why they're doing it. If there's a guy on this team that no one's really talking about possibly making the 53, and I am not telling you he's going to. I would say it's very unlikely he's going to. But someone I'd be surprised but not totally stunned would be Tecorey Couch. Tecorey Couch is making plays in the preseason. And he's a nickel corner. And you could have him there. That's why maybe Daquan is more on the outside. You could have Cam Lewis freed up to play a little more safety. I just look at a guy like that and say, man, like that's a guy that kind of fits everything that they all the boxes. And it's tough. And he's made plays. And it's a tough position to get to know and learn. And he's been there and he's done a good job in the preseason. Again, I'd be surprised if he made it. I wouldn't be completely stunned. Remember who's telling you that if it ever happens, okay? Tecorey Couch. Then we get to linebacker. So here's how it's got to work. First of all, I do think Joe Andreessen's going to make it, but Terrell Bernard, Dorian Williams, we know they're on the team. I think Eddie Ulofosio is going to be on the team. I don't see him not making it based on being a draft pick, the fact that he can play special teams. I think they like his, you know, his toughness and what he brings to the table. I think Nicholas Morrow's interesting. Nicholas Morrow's a veteran. You could release him. He has flexibility, sure. They love that, but you could bring him on the practice squad. I don't think anybody's necessarily going to be beaten on the door to sign him. Who knows? He's not subject to waivers, and that's why I think Joe Andreessen makes it. But that leaves out Baylen Spector. To me, Baylen Spector...
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
There's too many questions about his availability at this point. And Joe has shown to be available and lining people up right. And he made a whole heck of a lot of plays against the Pittsburgh Steelers. And then he didn't play as great against the Carolina Panthers, but he didn't do anything other than a couple miscommunications on passing plays, which I do think, you know, were kind of a point of a product of maybe playing with different people against a first-team offense. I don't think you have to pin that on Joe necessarily, but I do think there were some communication issues there. Those are things that you look at. I think Joe Andreessen's done enough, and I just think Baylen Spector might be in a spot where maybe we see him get put on IR today as one of those two designated to returns. I've tried to explain the rules many times, but I'll try one more time so everybody's clear on this. Today, anybody who goes on injured reserve is out for the season because they didn't make the 53 before 4 p.m. today. However, a new rule. The Bills can take two of those guys and say, we're designating them to return. So you could put Baylen Spector, Matt Milano, somebody else on IR today and say, out of this group of whatever guys is going on IR, whoever it is, two of them we are putting designated to return on them, which means they only have to miss four games. And then at some point in the season, you can bring them back. They also wouldn't count on the 53-man roster, which frees up two spots to keep other people. We know Milano's out long-term. If the Bills do that today, that at least allows them to bring him back in November, December, whatever. But he would count, and so would Baylen Spector or anybody else like this, as two of your eight total guys you get for the season. You get eight of these for the season. You can only do two today. But you get eight for the season. So if you do it today, you got to declare right away who they are. And that counts for, you know, two spots if you do two guys. As the season goes on, you don't have to declare right away. You just have to say, you know, he's ready to come back and we're going to put him out there. All right, we're going to take a timeout. Matt Perino is going to join us from Syracuse.com. We have Evan Lazar, covers the Patriots. He's coming up at the top of the hour. Questions on whatever you have on the roster and the roster build. Matt Perino gives his thoughts after this timeout on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Good question coming in here, I'll answer. This is Getting Connected with Our Fans. It's brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Brian tweets in at Sal Sports with the new rule regarding injured and designated to return. Does it now disallow the Reed Ferguson, you know, parking lot cut? Or is that an option still to keep additional people eligible? No, that's still allowed, Brian. Good question. You can still do it. You just don't need it as much, right? Because if you do it if you have more than, if you had more guys. Like, you can only use two guys for this IR designated return today, the new rule. But if you have a third guy, you're like, well, we got to get this guy on the 53, and then we can put him on IR. You can do the quote-unquote Reed Ferguson parking lot cut. It's not allowed. It's just that you wouldn't have to do it necessarily. So hopefully that answers your question. Let's get to the Wester Hotline right now. Our good buddy Matt Perino joins us from Syracuse.com, New York Upstate, and the Shout Podcast with Ryan Talbot. Good morning, buddy. It is a big day today. Any surprises for you so far from everything that we've learned through all of these reports?
I'm surprised with myself, right?
Why?
And a lot of us. Because the Tyrell Shavers,
yeah, me too,
like, vibes over the last couple of weeks, like, we should have kind of seen this coming. Like, he had such a strong start to the summer, and I think maybe we overreacted a little bit to Brandon Bean mentioning him specifically a couple times in the spring as a guy that kind of set up for a huge summer, and he was living up to it. I mean, he was a riser over the first week, like, so much so that while everybody was healthy, he was kind of getting worked in with the first team. So I think they wanted to take a look at that. Like, could he make some plays? How did he look on tape maybe against Christian Benford, Rasul Douglas? And maybe it just wasn't as good as you thought, because he was a, you know, guy in the third preseason game that got a huge opportunity. And who knows? I don't think it came down to that one play in the end zone, but we had a lot of talk about that on the show after the game. And it was just, It's a numbers game, right? Like, how many guys are going to be on the field at one time? What's the path to playing time? The Bills are potentially going to, you know, run a little bit more 12 personnel this year. Is a sixth receiver as valuable? And then what does that sixth receiver end up being? Like, KJ Hamler, for all intents and purposes, could have been doing a lot, like, behind the scenes that have that it's showing them he's the guy that they wanted to mix, and he's got that extra versatility that he can return kicks in a pinch. So I think that, to me, is like the surprise, but it shouldn't have been a surprise. We kind of do this every year with one player. You know, last year it was, you know, Justin Shorter. The year before that, Isaiah Hodgins, who ironically is a free agent apparently again here coming up, or released on waivers once again. So I think that's the biggest surprise so far.
Yeah, by the way, I'm glad you mentioned Hodgins. I want to bring him up to you. And so everybody's clear. Isaiah Hodgins actually has been in the league 4 years, but he only has three accrued seasons because of the way his career's gone. So he is subject to waivers. Any team can claim him. Could that be the Buffalo Bills, who drafted him and he just couldn't crack the 53? How do you see the receiver room shaping out now, Matt, thinking about both Shavers and Shorter gone? Are they going to keep five? Do they go get a Hodgins? Hey, I just read Allen Robinson was just waived, by the way, also by the New York Giants, actually released for him. Is there somebody out there that they're looking to make a play for? Or is this just the five, or maybe one that's on the roster now, like a Hamler and Isabella?
You know, I think it probably could be any of those things. I think to start with, I think five wide receivers should have always been something we talked a little bit more about. And I think we actually did at one point on Shout, talking about, like, they need bodies on the offensive line. Like, everybody was really quick to want to cut Lyle Collins. And I talked about how kind of bad he looked in the spring. I thought he kind of trended a little bit upwards over the course of the summer. And he gives you, like, great versatility. I mean, a guy that could play at guard or tackle, even though it might not be as good as you want to see most of the time, it's still a guy that can do it in a pinch. And I think banking on a guy like a Tylan Grable, like, I think you want to keep him on your roster, and we'll see how this kind of thing ends up on the offensive line. But if you're forced to play a guy that's a former high school quarterback who's only been playing offensive line for a couple of years, has had some good moments in the preseason, I think people are high on the way that he's developing. If he ends up being your, you know, top swing guard tackle off the bench, Are you comfortable with that? If you get a couple injuries on the offensive line, which the Bills didn't have to deal with last year because their starters played every snap of the season, then are you going to hand things over to a sixth-round rookie? I think Collins gives you that kind of experience. Well, the more guys you have like that, the Lyle Collins that are firmly on the bubble, I think the more you have to look to peel away at other spots. And I think at receiver, you just know that you have those top five guys, MVS included, who both him and Curtis Samuel seem to be on track to be available in week one or pretty close. So that gives the Bills some confidence to, okay, let's go a little bit heavier at some of these other spots because they're more unknown spots, especially like at safety and in the defensive back room. I mean, if we're looking at 11, 12 guys between those two positions, you have to find places to offset that elsewhere on the roster. And Sal, we haven't seen anything on Zach Davidson yet. So if they end up keeping four tight ends, that's another spot where you're going to have to offset that somewhere else.
Maybe Quentin Morris is one of these guys that's a candidate for the, you know, IR designated to return. Maybe it's three plus that. Maybe it's four because they want to run more 12 personnel. You make a great point on Lyle Collins, Matt, because I'm looking at the roster. If you say, we know who the starting five is, Dawkins and Brown at tackle, McGovern at center, Torrance and Edwards at guard. We know Ryan Vandermark's a swing tackle, and Alec Anderson is your swing guard or interior. Cedric Van Pran Granger is only playing center. So Tylan Grable is only playing tackle. Where's your other guard coming from? You're right. I mean, can you go in the season with just Alec Anderson really as your only backup guard? That may open the door for Collins or maybe even Will Clapp, who did have, you know, the concussion, but he was working as a backup center even before Cedric Van Pran Granger. He also has guard flexibility.
Yeah, I think Clapp's, you know, his little stint in the concussion protocol maybe muddied the waters a little bit in terms of what they can do there. I still think, though, if you look at Collins, for the majority of this summer, he was working on that second team. And, you know, he played in that last game. I think that was another opportunity for them to get some snaps of him on film. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, Grable can play a little bit on the inside. We saw him working at guard. But it goes back to that original point. Is like, is he ready for a real role if you really need them. And we've seen it in the past. Like last year, they were unbelievably healthy. But in years prior, when they've had to go like two, three guys into their depth, now you're talking about like who do you have in those spots? You know, have they played meaningful snaps? Because you got to remember too, in pass protection, you got Josh Allen back there. You can't take really any chances. And if they're happy enough with what they've seen from college, especially at like left guard, I think you like that. David Edwards, you know, that's another interesting side topic. He's the one new piece of this offensive line and obviously had a lot of success in L.A. He played that jumbo role for them last year. Aaron Cromer super high on him, and he might be really, really good, but what if he's not? Like, what if you get into the first two or three games and you need another answer at left guard? That's where Collins kind of looked the best this summer. So a lot to kind of take in as we kind of see all these moving pieces here over the next couple of hours.
Matt Perino, Syracuse.com, Shout Podcast with Ryan Talbot. All right, Joe Andreessen, obviously a big storyline last couple of weeks. As we move forward here, we have had a couple of linebackers released. Maybe a bit of a surprise for some people with Deion Jones. I didn't think he was really going to make it. Shane Simon's been released. That leaves Bernard Williams, Moro Ulofosio, Andreessen, and Baylen Specter. I've speculated that Baylen Specter is an IR designated return candidate, which gets you to Joe Andreessen on the roster. What do you feel about Buffalo Joe's chances?
That's exactly how I had it on my 53 too. Great minds think alike, Sal. I think Specter is a guy that if you can, like if it's not Quentin Morris who gets that other designation to return, you know, you obviously want Matt Milano to be one of those guys. I think Specter makes a lot of sense, but I'd almost, when do you reach a point with a player where you just say, this is who he is? And I've been so high on Specter. Every time he's healthy, gets an opportunity to play first, second, third team. I mean, he was in the competition early on last summer for the middle linebacker spot with Bernard and Dotson. And he's looked great when he's been able to play and he's been healthy. But every single year, this is the third straight year where he's been banged up with injuries. He was banged up in the spring. Then he gets this this issue in the summer. And now you're just having to ask yourself, is this something that every time we get down the road with this guy, is it going to be something that, you know, bites us? Because if you have him as a depth guy and Dorian Williams gets hurt and you got all of these young players and then Nick Morrow, who obviously played some important snaps for the Eagles last year when they got banged up, but he's also been banged up. Can you trust Baylen Specter to play injury free for an extended period of time? He's never proven to be able to do that. So I guess I'm more asking, I think the IR route makes a lot of sense, but I think also if you're Brandon Bean, you have to ask yourself a hard question. Have we just learned who this guy is? Unfortunately, his body's just not able to hold up.
So someone just pointed out to me, Alec, thank you. Alec tweeted in, look at Lyle Collins' Instagram story. Matt, I know you do this. You look at these guys' social media. I'm looking at it now. It says, Buffalo, thank you, with a heart, hashtag the marathon continues. I don't know how to take that, to be quite honest.
Well, I mean, that if he's saying thank you, you're right. That could be either two things, like thank you for keeping me in the NFL. I mean, this is a guy that was on the
right
practice squad for the Cowboys last year, or it could be thank you for a great summer. On to the next.
The marathon continues. Does he mean the marathon staying with the team or the marathon of trying to find another team? I don't know.
I know. Everybody's kind of furiously working on this.
I'll let you do that. You tell me if you figure anything out, okay? I'll let you do that while I host the show today, and you can tell me, hey, I got it. I know you can probably figure that out better than I can. What does it mean? Buffalo, thank you. The marathon continues. By the way, thank you, Alec, for pointing that out here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. All right, the other area I wanted to get to you, we talk about linebacker, is DB. And look, Daquan Hardy, to me, has made the team. He is a return man. I said earlier, I think Jamarcus Ingram's pushing for number three cornerback with Kyer Elam. And if you're keeping Daquan Hardy and, by the way, training him on the outside, which is really interesting, what does it mean for Kyer Elam's career? I'm not suggesting they would move on from him as a cut candidate. Are we sure that maybe Kyer Elam wouldn't be a guy that they might want to just see if there's anything out there for him because they kind of like the way Daquan Hardy and Jamarcus Ingram have developed?
It's not out of the realm of possibility, and if you've seen enough and you don't think that Kyer Elam is going to be effective in the scheme, then how much do you want to continue down this road where his, you know, maybe the trade value dwindles if he comes out there. Now, I've always argued that he's been a lot better when he's gone into the games than I think a lot of people talk about. But, you know, I think the Hardy development is an important one. He's almost got the reverse Cam Lewis timeline going on. Like, he started in the spring, early summer in the slot, and then we saw him start to work on the boundary over the course of training camp and then into the preseason. Cam Lewis came in, if you remember, he was working primarily on the boundary, and then they started to see how quick he was, and they moved him on to the inside and then eventually over out to safety. I think part of it is they just like guys being able to play multiple positions so that you add a ton of value, because, you know, they've had spots before at the cornerback position where they're getting down to their third, fourth, fifth guy. I mean, Dane Jackson, that's why he was such an important piece to them for so long, is because it felt like every single season he was in a depth role, but he got in and was starting games for them before very long. So that's a position, you know, both for Sewell Douglas and Christian Benford got banged up last year. I wonder if it's maybe not even Kyer Elam specific. It's just like, we got to be able to go four or five, maybe even six deep because of what we've dealt with in the past. And then obviously what happened at linebacker last year, Sal, like, we don't talk maybe enough about that, in that at the end of the season, you had Milano out, you had Bernard out, you had Dotson hurting. I mean, it was a really rough spot by the time they played in that Kansas City game, guys either out or playing hurt. That could happen in any position, and we've seen some guys get banged up in that cornerback room.
Yeah, and just so fans know, too, and you brought up Matt Milano, is a really interesting case, right? Because you don't have to designate Milano to return right now. You can put him on IR. You can have him on the 53, put him on IR, and then later in the year designate him. But then you're eating up a 53-man spot. But if they're not sure, Matt, if they're not sure if Matt Milano is going to play this year, like, maybe that's the case. I don't know if they want to slap that designated return tag on him now, eat one of them up. But if the problem with that is, then you got to carry him on the 53 and don't get that extra guy. This is a tough spot for them, maybe.
Yeah, and I think even if there's any percentage of a chance that he returns, I think you want to probably use that that designated spot for him. Only because, just think about the juice that potentially gives their defense if he's able to come back, or even the hope of it. Like, remember when, you know, Von Miller was working his way back, you know, I think early last season, there was like a palpable buzz. Now, he got back and nothing went well over the course of the next 14 or 15 weeks for him specifically. But I think the chance to get Milano back is a huge deal. And I don't think you want to, they don't have the luxury of just pulling him through on the 53-man roster because of all these other guys that they got to keep.
Yeah, I agree. And the other thing about it would be, too, you might not get to eight guys anyway throughout the year that you have to bring back, right? I mean, that's a lot anyway. And you might say, like, we'll live with it. If we have to do that, we can do some other, you know, roster maneuvering. Real quick, before I let you go, backup quarterback's an interesting spot. I guess the way I see this playing out is you keep Trubisky on the 53, DiNucci or whoever, I think it's going to be DiNucci, goes to your practice squad, and you just elevate him for week one or weeks one and two until Trubisky's ready. But you don't have to put Trubisky in IR and miss 4 weeks. You could just kind of play a little roster maneuvering here and get you through a couple weeks.
For sure. And, I mean, there could be a bunch of different things that end up happening. I mean, some guys across the league to get cut that maybe the Bills want to take a look at. I know Mike White was a guy that was out there. I don't know if he's heading back to their practice squad or what the reporting has been on him. But there's always going to be a couple of interesting guys. And now DiNucci's been in the system long enough to where, I say long enough, what's it been, like 2 weeks, you know, where at least he has some type of basis here to, you know, be able to get in the room and game plan over the next 2 weeks. You at least not have a guy that could go out there and to a degree know what you're trying to do. But I'm in the other camp, Sal. Like, I mean, I think backup quarterback we make a little bit too much of it. And no matter what happens, if Josh Allen isn't available, sure, you want to try to get somebody out there that could get you through a game, that could put you in a position to win and maybe not lose a game for you. But the balancing act between, or like I should say, the distance between a Mitch Trubisky and a Ben DiNucci, I don't think it's as nearly as far as the distance from Mitch Trubisky to Josh Allen. So in the end, you know, just get somebody out there that's not going to turn the ball over, and whoever that ends up being, you're going to have to roll with them.
What do you and Ryan got going on here on the Shout Podcast rolling through today and tomorrow?
Yeah, we'll have a show later today. Obviously, Brandon Bean talks tomorrow. We'll kind of get some more insight into everything that's occurred today. We'll have you covered with, I think we all got those draft or those cut trackers up at the website. It'll be a busy couple days here, and then we'll get our last free weekend before the grind truly begins.
I mean, come on. I know your life. You know my life. Do we ever really have a free weekend ever?
No, never.
I know, right? Well, listen, we'll stay in touch on whatever happens with Lyle Collins. If you hear anything, you let me know. That Instagram story, I'm very curious now. Mike Shope texted and said, I would guess that means he's gone. I'm like, I think so too, right? I mean, you don't put thank you because you're staying. But I don't know. We'll see where it goes. Matt Parrino, at Matt Parrino on X, and of course, the Shout Podcast with Ryan Talbot. Thanks a lot, buddy. Have a great rest of your day, and we'll stay in touch.
You too, buddy. Take care.
All right, you got it. That is Matt Parrino on the Western Hotline. We'll come back. Jeff, stay with me. I'll get to your question in just a moment. We'll take a timeout here. We'll get to Evan Lazar at the top of the hour in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. All right, let's get to the phones because Jeff's been waiting patiently, and I appreciate that. Hi, Jeff. You're on the Extra Point Show.
Hey, Sal. Hope you're doing well. First, real quick, just want to give a shout-out to Matt Parrino. Grew up with him in the Fawn Meadows, so I just want to say hi to him. To
All right, you got it. There you go.
But point and question here, I called a little while back to basically say, hey, let's all just collectively pump the brakes on Joe Brady's offense coming in mid-season and the way that the offense seemed to be running. Didn't have time to install mid-season his plan, and now with a full off-season and training camp, I'm sure you've seen more of it, obviously, than the most of us have. But one of the things that I've noticed is that there's still a lot of screen passes, swing passes, things like that. And I don't know if that's more of just his, style or if it's based on the personnel that he has available to him with the receivers that we have. But I guess the question is do you see that being the case? Obviously, they're not, showing their full hand in the preseason. But I'm just worried that if that's kind of the case, the dink and dunk style, that Josh Allen is going to get frustrated throughout the season because he always wants to uncork one, at a certain point. Is he going to get frustrated with that and then just start running over linebackers and putting himself in danger? So that's kind of I was looking for and just wanted your 2 cents on it.
Yeah, so I do think it's going to be a lot of the offense. They're going to do that a lot. But, I mean, I think where you're looking at as a negative dink and dunk and Josh getting frustrated. Look, I go back to the owners' meetings, Jeff, when Sean McDermott sat there and said, you have to be able to get the ball down the field, even like in this day and age, the way teams are playing. It's really more about, to me, Jeff, the way defenses are playing offenses. You just can't fire the ball downfield anymore in the NFL. You just can't. You have to figure out a way to get the ball into your playmakers' hands, and they could make 5-6 yards at a time. And I think the Bills are going to try and do that. And look, I think Josh Allen's going to be a part of that. I don't think they're doing it without Josh's, kind of signing off on it, I guess you'd say, because what has Joe Brady always said? This isn't my offense, it's Josh Allen's offense. He's going to do things that Josh feels. Now, will there be times, Jeff, where Josh Allen says, I need to let one go? Yes, we're going to see that because that's just how he plays. But yes, I think it's going to be a big part of their offense. I think it's a big reason why Curtis Samuel's here. It's a big reason why Khalil Shakir is going to be heavily involved. It's a big reason why James Cook is involved. And of course, Dalton Kincaid. I think you're going to see a lot of that. It doesn't mean they can't throw the ball downfield. But, Jeff, to me, it's because of how defenses are playing offenses and the response around the league, by the way, from offenses saying, this is how we have to do things because teams aren't letting us go over the top anymore.
Reactionary, of course. Yeah. No, okay, that makes sense.
All right, you got it, buddy. Thanks for the call. I really appreciate it. Thanks for holding through as well. All right, we'll come back. Evan Lazar on the other side. He covers the Patriots, and he'll give us the scoop on what's happening in New England after last game against the Commanders. Drake May look pretty good. Is he in line now to actually start week one after limited opportunities in the preseason? But an injury now to Jacoby Brissett. We'll get with him. We'll talk about the Patriots roster, but also the NFL. CeeDee Lamb signs that monster extension with the Dallas Cowboys. And of course, a lot of other moves happening around the NFL. We're on top of it for you today at WGR550.com as well. We have a cuts tracker that Josh has graciously put up. So check it out, WGR550.com. It's a Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.